Mark chapter 11 is where we're at. Mark chapter 11. And I went back there and Daniel said, "Man, Dad, I didn't know you liked German shepherds. We had one for several years, so I don't know where Daniel was at. But I did have a Labrador when I was a boy. And so I guess I could have gone either way on some of those. But that was fun playing that game. I didn't mean to knock everybody out with Coke right away. But anyways, good. I appreciate chapel. I like being in Christian schools. I love being around kids that come to a Christian school with their Bibles in their hand, ready to hear preaching and to listen. And I won't be long this morning. I try to keep your attention, but give me your attention on purpose. I hope the message will help each one of us today, okay? God has something for your life. God has a plan for your life. You might not know it right now, but God has a plan for every one of your lives. But let me tell you this, the devil has a plan for your life also. His plan's the direct opposite of what God's is. And so your plan, you might say, well, my plan's not going to be what the devil wants. But if it's not what God wants, it's probably going to end up being what the devil wants. Because his plan a lot of times is just don't do what God wants. That's what his plan is. And so what I'd like everyone to do today is to focus on this thought and say, what is it that God wants me to do with my life? What is it that God has for me? Not everybody will be a missionary. I'm not going to say everybody's going to be a missionary, but some should be. Not everybody's going to be a preacher. I'm looking at the boys over here and the boys over here. The girls aren't going to be preachers, but not every boy is going to be a preacher. Not going to grow up to be a man of God, preacher, evangelist, pastor, missionary, but some should be. Not every young lady will be a missionary or a pastor's wife or a full-time servant, but some should be. Yeah, God has a will for everybody's life, okay? So Mark chapter 11 is where we're at this morning. Let me ask you to stand with me. If you found it, if you can hold your Bible there without dropping it, read the scriptures. I'm going to read down a few verses, down to verse number 10. Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. I love this story in the Bible. And I want to draw some truths out of it this morning here in the chapel time. Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, this is Jesus and his disciples. When they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them by the way. They that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That is the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Great story there. But look back at verse number 4. It says, and they went their way. These are the two disciples. And they found the colt tied by the door without in a place. Watch this next phrase. Where two ways met and they loose him. There was a crossroads there. There's an intersection. He said, you're going to find this colt. He's going to be tied up by a door. And he's in a place where there's two ways that meet. So there's a crossroad. There's an intersection. There's two paths that go. And Jesus said, right there at that crossroads where that colt's going to be. That's just what I want to preach on here this morning, is that colt at the crossroads. And I want us to think about this. Which way are we going to go? Every one of us is at a crossroad. We're at a place where two ways meet. And the deciding factor is, what does the Lord want? The Lord hath need of something. So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts here this morning, that colt at the crossroads. Heavenly Father, thank you for chapel time. Thank you for the Word of God that we can read and the songs that we heard sung and sang this morning. What a blessing that is. Lord, I pray you would help our hearts and our minds to pay attention. Lord, there's a lot of things that can distract us. We've got our minds are so programmed to be active and to think about things. And Lord, help us for a few moments just to concentrate on your Word. I pray you'd help me as I preach. I need your guidance. I need wisdom. I need your power to say what needs to be said. And Lord, I pray you would give me the liberty to say it. Lord, may you get the glory for everything that's done here this morning. God, I believe that you want to raise up the next generation of servants and those that will be preachers and missionaries, evangelists, lay people in churches that will just be faithful. And Lord, help all of us to be willing to follow your will. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. As I read this story, as we were reading the text here, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going into Jerusalem. And if you know the scriptures, he was going into Jerusalem to die on the cross. He knew what he was doing. Now, his disciples knew about it, but they weren't accepting it. Every time Jesus brought it up, they tried to discourage Jesus. They tried to talk him out of it. They tried to say, no, that's not going to happen. They looked at it as if he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to destroy the Roman Empire and he was going to take down Herod and he was going to take down Pilate and he was going to set up his kingdom. But Jesus was going that first time and it was to die on the cross to be our Savior. It was not to go in on the white horse as he will one day and set up his kingdom and rule and reign with a rod of iron. But at this time, it was to go as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb. He was going to die a sacrificial death on the cross. Jesus told his disciples, he said, as he's coming to Jerusalem, he sent them and he said, go your way as you go into Jerusalem. And when you come to this village, I want you to find this colt and I want you to bring that colt. That's what I'm going to ride into Jerusalem on. I'm going to ride into Jerusalem not as a king, but as a lowly servant, as somebody that's coming as a sacrifice. Let me just say this, that one day Jesus is coming back again as the King of Kings. He's going to come back and rule and reign. I believe that with all my heart that there's going to be a millennial reign of Christ. He's going to reign for 1,000 years here on this earth. I don't doubt that because the Bible says that. But the first time he came, it was not to reign. It was to die on the cross. He died for our sins. He wants us to accept him as a Savior before we can ever accept him as king. You have to accept him as the sacrifice for your sin. If you're not saved today, before we get in the message, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I did that when I was 9 years old. How many in here are 9 years old today? How many wish you were 9 years old today? All right, amen, all right. I was 9 years old sitting in a church service when I heard that message and God spoke to my heart and I said, I need to get saved. I got saved that day. That was the greatest day in my life. March 9, 1983, greatest day in my life, I got saved. So when Jesus becomes your Savior, he also wants to reign in your life. He wants to have supreme authority over everything that goes on. So I want you to picture with me as we're coming into Jerusalem, we're going to act like we're the disciples now today, and Jesus is sending two of us on this mission to find this colt. Now, Jesus was coming in Mark chapter 10. If you look back just a few verses, I believe it's verse 46 there. Jesus was in Jericho and he healed blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see and he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus healed him. So they're in Jericho and they're going from Jericho to Jerusalem. That's about 18 miles, 18, 20 miles. So they're on this path from Jericho to Jerusalem as they're heading there. And Jesus knows that in between there is a crossroads that he had passed through a lot of times. And on the north side of the road was the city called Bethphage. And on the south side was the city of Bethany. So you have a road from Jericho to Jerusalem, two J's, about 20 miles apart. And then Bethphage and Bethany, they're about a mile apart. And it's where the two ways met, right there. Jesus knew that territory. He knew the crossroads there. And he said, right when you get in there, as you come to the place where the two roads meet, those two ways, there's going to be a colt there that you just go up and you take that colt. And if somebody says, what are you doing? Say, the Lord hath need of him. Now, this is interesting to me. If Jesus sends us and you go in there and you start untying somebody's colt that cost some money and they were raising for a purpose that they were going to use it for their benefit, then you hope what Jesus told you to say will work. I mean, man, I'm going to get shot or somebody's going to arrest me or something's going to happen. I'm just taking this man's donkey and I'm going to steal it. I'm taking it, borrowing it, and I'm taking it. And it's all because Jesus said that he had need of it, that he wanted it. So here's where we're at in our story. We come to this crossroads and right there's this colt there and they start taking it. And Jesus was so confident that this man, whoever owned it, the people that owned it, when they heard the word, the Lord, the Master hath need of it, that he would let it go, that Jesus said, he'll let it go immediately, straightway, he'll let it go. Now, don't miss this. There's something that all of us have that God wants. He doesn't necessarily need us as if He couldn't make it without us, but He needs us in the sense that He has chosen to use us as vessels. The fact is that God can get the gospel around the world if we sit on our hands and say, we're not doing anything, I'm not going to serve God. God can still send the gospel around. He's powerful. He's able to do something. If you choose not to serve God, He'll use somebody else. But the fact is, He wants to use all of us. He wants all of us to be willing. So when He comes to that crossroad in our life, and it's not maybe Jericho and Jerusalem or Bethphage and Bethany, but somewhere in our life there is a crossroads where we're there, and Jesus said, I know that crossroad in their life is when I'm going to impress upon their heart and I'm going to say, I have need of you. I've got a purpose for your life. And I hope that He's saying, whenever I say that about Matt Hudson, He's going to immediately say, take it, it's yours, Lord, if you need it. But I wonder sometimes if He says, I'm going to mention that to him, but I know his heart. He's probably going to say, no, not today. I wonder if He said about you today, I want somebody to serve me. I want somebody to live for me. I want somebody to be involved in missions and maybe give their life to be a missionary or a preacher or evangelist or something. And it's at that crossroads in your life. Maybe you're a senior in high school. Maybe you're a junior or a sophomore and you're praying about the will of God and God's impressing on your heart to go to Bible college. You say, no, I don't want to. And you're at that crossroad. I want to challenge you today. Do what God wants you to do. The Lord has a purpose for your life. I've been at those crossroads in my life. There's been some times in my life where I thought, nuh-uh, that's my plan. I've got my own plans and my own desires, and this is what I'm doing. And I'm so glad that I did not say, no, that's my colt. I said, if you need it, Lord, it's yours. God has a purpose for everything. I was 15 years old when I was sitting in a church service, and a man who's now in heaven, who was pastor in the church that I now pastor, Clyde Gilman, was preaching a message. And he preached a message out of Matthew chapter 20 about the servants that went out into the field, if you know the story, and they worked at different hours of the day, and all of them got one penny at the end. Wow, you talk about minimum wage, man. Where's the protest banner? I mean, man, that was a day's wage. And what he told the story is at the end of that day, there were some that got a penny that worked only 1 hour, and there were some that worked all day and they got a penny. And at the end of the day, some of them said, that isn't fair. How many ever say that? That isn't fair. Yeah, you shouldn't say that. You get what you get and don't throw a fit, right? That's the motto. You just take it, man. Just take it or leave it. That's what it is. God's always fair. And what he preached in this message is, you ought to serve God without a contract. That was the title of his message. And I sat there as a 15-year-old boy, and I loved watching sports, and I loved hearing all these stories about all these guys who were making all kind of money, and I knew I would never make that kind of money, but I knew what a contract was. And he said, you ought to take a piece of paper and you ought to sign your name on the blank sheet of paper and you ought to lay it out in front of God and said, here's my contract. You fill in the blanks. I'm just signing the lines. Then I went home that night and I got out a piece of paper and I signed it and I knelt by my bed and I said, God, here's my contract. Whatever you want with my life. And that was a time in my life that was a crossroad for me. I believe that if I would have said, no, I'm not doing that. No way. There's no way I'm going to do what God wants. I could have missed out on the blessings that God had for me. I'm so glad I did that. When I was in Bible college, an opportunity came to go to Belarus and Ukraine and Russia on a 1 month long trip. I was having a hard time paying my school bill, let alone buy a plane ticket and go on a mission trip. But I felt that God wanted me to go. The opportunity was there and I went for an entire month. I stayed in Russia, I stayed in Belarus, I stayed in Ukraine, we rode trains all through the country, I stayed in people's homes, and for 1 month as I traveled that country, God began to tug on my heart and said, this is where you need to be. That was a crossroads in my life. When I was there eating the food that was there, and stuff was different than I was used to, and being in the countryside and everything was different, I could have said, no, that's not me, I want to stay in America, but God said, that's what I want you to do, and I said, hey, I'll do it. Can I tell you, I'm not upset that I said, okay, that crossroad, God, you've got it. I'm saying that all of us come to a crossroad in our life. There's a time in our life that God knows the way. The disciples might not even been thinking about that, but God knew where that place was. And sometime in your life, you're going to come to that place where it's a crossroad. It's going to be that road that crosses there. Now, Jesus had often been to Bethany. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were there. And then Jesus may have even known the man that owned this colt. Jesus knows everybody, so obviously he knew them. But what I meant to say is that man may have known Jesus. They may have been an acquaintance. Jesus knows everybody. But that man may have said, absolutely, I know who the Lord is. I know Jesus Christ. And here's what decides the crossroad is you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to know Him. You know, it ought not to just be your mom and dad's relationship with Jesus Christ. I have some parents that love the Lord top notch. I mean, they're some of the best Christians I've ever met in my life. You know what helped me in my Christian life is realizing I don't get where God wants me to be just because my parents love the Lord. It's got to be what I do. Your parents may love the Lord. They may be faithful in the church. They may be in full-time ministry serving God. But how about you? Do you know the Lord that if God knocked on your door and said, it's at a crossroads, that's what I want you to do. You would say, because I know Jesus Christ and He's more than just a name that we sing about, He's my very best friend. And if that's what He wants, I'm willing to do it and surrender to that. This crossroads is a turning point. Now, this man may have had plans for this donkey. He may have been to go back to Jericho. There were those that traveled. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. He went from Jerusalem to Jericho. This man may have been saying, no, wait, I'm going to use the donkey and the colt. I'm going to use this as a means of transportation for people to get to Jericho. And I've already got it booked. I mean, it's already, there's an itinerary. A man's coming today from Jerusalem to get it. And he's already got plans. But when Jesus said he needed it, he said, all plans are off. Jesus gets it. You see, sometimes in our life we make plans and we say, okay, Jesus, you're second or you're third if it comes around. But we ought to say, Jesus, you're first. That in all things, He should have the preeminence. He ought to always be number one in our life. He ought to have first choice. Maybe He was going to say in Bethany or Bethphage, I've got somebody that's willing to buy this colt, never been ridden on. That's of value. There's some value there. And I'm not going to just use it, but I'm going to sell it because then I can get gain for it. And again, it's not a personal decision. It's about pleasing Jesus Christ. That's what our life ought to be about, pleasing Him. So I want to help you with this decision. Every one of you at some time in your life, you're going to be at a crossroad. And the main crossroad is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You ought to accept Him. But let's just say today, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But let's just, if you're saved today, you're going to come at a crossroads where your life is going to be either your way or God's way. The devil's way or God's way. And so you say, well, how do I make that decision? How many would like to make the right decision at the crossroads? Raise your hand. Do you like to make the right decision? Man, how many want to make the bad decision? Okay, good. All right. Nobody raised their hand. Good. I don't want to make a bad decision. You know, as a pastor today, there's crossroads in my life. And I say, I want to make the right decision. Let me tell you, I'll just give you three quick things of how you can make the right decision every time. If you get these three principles down, you say, when I come to the crossroad, this is the Jericho-Jerusalem road, whatever I'm on, here's how I can make the right decision about it. You've got to realize everything you have belongs to Jesus Christ. It's all a question of property. Who really owns it? It's all His. Jesus owns everything. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. You know, when I got saved, I no longer belong to myself. It's not me and mine and I want to do this, but it's not my will, but thine be done. That's the way it ought to be in your life also. Every one of us ought to say, it's about Jesus Christ. He bought me with His precious blood. He died on Calvary to pay for my sin. I go to heaven because He loved me and because He died for me. And so the few years that He gives me here on this earth, praise God, I'm saved and I'm bought with a price. I get to serve Him. It's all about who owns it. And when Jesus said, I know that colt, that man's going to give it. He knew the owner and He said, that owner realizes that I'm really the owner. You see, when Jesus comes and knocks on your door, he's wanting to know, He knows He owns you, but do you know that He owns you? Don't miss this. It's not, Jesus, I'm coming to an altar to tell you that you've got me, you own me. He already does. He already bought you. He wants to know, do you know, do you realize that? Do you understand that I'm not my own? It's not up to me to choose how I dress and how I talk and how I act. He bought me with a price and I live for Him and everything I do is because I belong to Jesus Christ. See, we come to missions sometimes and faith promises about giving. And we wonder, how much are we going to give? Everybody can give. I love it when children get involved in faith promise. Hey, man, that's great. Everybody can. You get an allowance, you find a quarter on the street, whatever. You can be involved in giving. Everybody can do it. And if you realize, wait, everything that comes into my possession is really not mine. It's God's. He just gave it to me to be a steward over it. So it's really His. So the question is not, do I own it, but how much has God given to me? It's all His. He's the one. He's the proprietor. He's the one that owns everything. It all belongs to God. You know, the Bible says this, that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills also. And if He had a need, He wouldn't even tell you about it. How many of you, when you have a need, you tell your mom about it? You're hungry? You say, Mom, I'm hungry. What are we eating? All right. How many of you tell your dad, well, I need some money. I need the car keys. I need something. Anybody in here like that? You tell a need. Yeah, these guys raise their hand. Don't get the car keys yet, all right? We have a need, we tell people. God says, I'd never tell you my need if I had one. If I was hungry, I wouldn't sit around and say, well, I wish somebody would give a little bit more so I could eat. God owns it all. He's got it all. God just wants us to be plugged into His business and to say, God, I already know You own it all, but now I just want You to know that I know that You own it all, and I'm at Your disposal. Whatever You want with my life, I'm going to give it to You. God is the one that owns everything. God owns the colt. He owns you. He owns your life. He owns everything about you. Serving God is not me surrendering and saying, okay, I'm giving God what I have. It's saying, God, it's Yours anyway. I'm just admitting to the fact that it's Your will, not mine. And so you say today, well, what could I do for God? God could use you in a way. God could use all of us in a great way. So the first thing is that we're bought with a price. The Lord has need of it. God has exclusive rights to it. Let me give you an illustration. When I first got to Ukraine as a missionary, I set up a bank account to get money wired over, and I had just moved. We studied Russian language in Belarus for a year, and we moved to Ukraine, and I got a bank set up, and all the mission support was going to get wired over. They do an electronic wire so I could get the money to pay my bills. And I remember the first time I went into the bank. It was a German-owned bank that was there in Kiev. And I went in and I had the money wired over. And I walked in and I said, I'm here to withdraw some money out of the account. And they said, oh, you haven't ordered the money. I didn't know I was supposed to order the money. They said, oh, yeah, it takes a couple days. You order it and then you come back and get it. And I said, well, did you receive the money? Oh, yeah, we received it. Wait, hang on a minute. Explain this to me. They sent the money. This is my money. It came to your bank. You've got the money, but I can't get it because I haven't ordered it and I've got to wait. They said, yeah, that's the system we've got. Now, if you're an American and you think, okay, it's got to be an American way, you're in for a rude awakening when you go to a foreign field. That's not the way it works. Your passport doesn't always mean they just jump whenever you walk in. And so I walked out of the bank a little upset, thinking, that's my money. They've got my money. My landlord wants his money. I gotta feed my family. I need my money, and they won't let me get it. They told me to come back and get it. I can't believe that. And the Holy Spirit said, just like what you tell me when I say I need something. Man, I was under conviction. I thought, wait, that's exactly what I say when He says this. He wants it. It's His. And I remember going home, and when I made that order and I came back and they gave me the money, and I thought, God, help me never to say to You, you've got 2 or 3 days to wait, or you've got a year, or you've got 10 years, and whenever I'm 50 or whenever I'm 60, then I'll serve You. No, God, if You want me right now in my teenage years or right now in my 20s or 30s or wherever You're at, I'm willing, God, right now. I'm ready. He owns it all. Young people, you ought to serve God right now. Don't wait till you're 30 and 40 and 50 and then say, okay. No, right now you can serve God. You can do something right now for God. Everybody can. So the first thing is the property. Who does it belong to? It belongs to God. Let me ask you, I'll say, who does it belong to? You say God, all right? I gave you the answer, all right? Who does it belong to? Who do you belong to? Okay, we've got that settled. The property belongs to Him. The second thing is this word called priority. Think about this word. Priority means it's urgent. It means it's something that has to be done immediately. When you go home from school and you've got homework and you're wanting to play outside or you're wanting to do something, ride a skateboard or a bike or video game or whatever you do, and your parents say, wait, what's most important? Is your homework done? The priority is do what's important and then later you can do the rest. The priority is always the most important thing. It's the thing that's top of the list. Here's where we put the will of God sometimes is on the bottom of the list. Sometimes people say, well, what God wants me to do, if it fits in, I'll do it down here. It ought to always be the priority. The colt is not, well, whenever this man takes it to Jericho and he brings it back and after it's been ridden and it's worn out and all, I'll try to brush it out and I'll give it to you then. No, Jesus, if you need it, it's priority right now. It's Yours. I believe that young people ought to make a priority in their life serving God with their life while they have strength and while they have a vision and while they have that ability to do it. Don't wait till later and then say, oh, I wish I would have. Do it while you're young. Serve God. Man, I love when Christian schools and chapels and teen groups and young people say, I want to serve God with my life. Man, wouldn't it be great if somebody right in here, God put their hand upon them and they surrender to be a missionary and serve God, and years from from now, if God tarries his coming, the Lord doesn't come back, rapture doesn't happen, somebody in a missions conference, I sat in a service and God called me to be a missionary. God called me to be a preacher. God called me to serve the Lord. The priority in your life. You don't have to look back and say, man, preacher, I wish I would have done it back in my teenage years and my 20s, but I waited all these years and now God used you anytime, but make a priority and say, I want to serve God with my life right now. The priority. So who do we belong to? The priority is what? God. The answer is the same. It's the priority is God in everything. Let me give you the third word. And this word really helps us sum it all up. It's not just about the property. And it's not just about the priority. But I believe that serving God with our life is a privilege. I believe that it's the greatest privilege you and I could ever do. There's nothing even that compares to it. To be on the scale, even with it, on the line there of serving God. Think about the greatest things that you've ever done. Have you ever had any of those moments where you say, that was one of the best experiences in my life? Maybe you went to a ball game. Maybe you met somebody famous. Maybe you did something that you said, boy, that was just a highlight of my life. I rode a Ferris wheel or a merry-go-round, man. And you survived. Wow. You got off. I don't have good experiences with that, Brother Angel, man. I don't like either of them. But tell you this, maybe you've done some of those things, you say that's high. Can I tell you this, serving God is always going to be better than that. When you get to heaven and in the grand scheme and you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, I don't believe there's a single person that's ever served God that'll look back and say, wow, I wasted all those years serving God and I wish I would have done this and this and this and I left it. No, it's been the greatest privilege of my life serving God and living for God and telling people the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a privilege serving God. See, here's what we think sometimes is that you hear people say, what a sacrifice it is to go to the mission field. Boy, they're making a sacrifice going to Australia. When I heard people say that about me, I thought, man, this is a sacrifice. Let me in on it. Woo! It's the best thing I've ever done. What a privilege serving God. Do you give up some of the things that others do in America and things like that? Maybe. But can I tell you, God's able to give you greater desires and greater joy and greater fun and pleasures and just the enjoyment in life, knowing the will of God, than you could have ever had outside the will of God. Being in the will of God is the greatest privilege. And I tell this, Daniel's back here. I've told my kids for years, serving God is great. It's a lot of fun serving God. It's not something we sit around and say, boy, I've had to do this, carry this heavy load. No, no. Praise God we get to serve God. It's better than being a drunk on the street. It's better than being in jail somewhere. Man, we get to serve. It's a privilege to serve God. So this man, when he's got his colt tied up there and the disciples come up, why did he let that colt go right away? I don't know if he was this much of a thinker in advance. I'm going to probably say he wasn't. So let's fast forward all the way to the judgment seat of Christ. And now let's look at his mind. And if he didn't think it that day, he's thinking it now. Wow, what a privilege. I let Jesus ride on my colt. Man, I'm glad I didn't say no at that time when they were taking him. That I didn't say, what are you doing? Put him back, man. That's my colt. I paid for it. I own that colt. No, no, no. I think he would look back and say, wow, what a privilege that I let Jesus have it. Jesus took his colt. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, maybe that man was one of the ones in the crowd throwing his coat down and the palm branches and saying, Hosanna. And maybe there was just a little bit of pride, not a selfish pride, but glory to God. I get to be a part of that. That's mine that I'm given. I'm given something to Jesus to glorify him. And it's all about the privilege of serving God. Man, I get to bring honor and glory to God. You know, if you do something with your life, young people, it's not for your glory. It's for his glory. It's not about your praise. So everybody pats you on the back and says, what a great prayer. It's about praising him. It's about glorifying him. So here's the question. There's three questions, and I'll give you a hint. The answer is all the same. Real tough question, man. Don't you like these kind of tests? Who does it belong to? What's the priority? What's the privilege? It's a privilege serving God. It's not about you. It's about God. Church is not about you. Life is not about you. It's all about God. You're a vessel that God wants to use for his glory. God can use everyone in here. Man, boys and girls and teenagers and young people and even adults in here. God wants to use us for his glory. So the crossroad in your life, you're at it today. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. And this might be one of many crossroads in your life. And when the place where two ways met, which way are you going to go? Back to Jericho? Bethany? Bethphage? Or Jesus, you can go ahead and go to Jerusalem. And the reason he went into Jerusalem on that donkey was that he was going to be a Savior. Here's what God wants to use us for, is to tell people he's the Savior. That's what he wants to use us for. And God can use every one of us for his glory. I think the greatest thing I ever did in my life was get saved. The second greatest is surrender to the will of God. Just say, God, I'm willing to do whatever. Yielded to the will of God. That's the biblical word, just yielding. I mean, not my will, but God, yours be done. The Lord hath need of it. God is looking for somebody that he can use. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning? We're going to have an invitation. And at the crossroad is where you're at. You might say, man, I've chosen my own way. I've chosen this is what I'm doing. I'll never be a missionary. I'll never. You know what? Surrender to God and say, God, if you have need of it, I'll let you do it. Maybe today you're not saved. Why don't you get saved today? Don't go through life not knowing Christ as your Savior. Be born again. Trust him as your Savior. But then after that, you're bought with a price. Serve him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll work in our hearts. And during this invitation time, as Pastor Angel comes, Lord, I pray that you would just help each one of us at an individual crossroad. We'd be that one that says, Lord, if you have need, here I am. I'm willing. I don't know what it is. I really don't even know what you want to do with my life. But Lord, if you're tugging on the rope of my heart, then I'm giving it to you today. I'm letting you take control of it. Let God have the glory. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's got the guests to play.
And there we go. Thank you. And you obey the Lord if God spoke to you about the crossroads in life. And there will be more than one, I promise you. There will be several. Several different crossroads you come to. And those are three good words to remember at the crossword. Property, priority, privilege. And just remember that God is the answer to all three. Where two ways meet. And I'll promise you, if you head in the wrong direction, you'll regret that. But you stay on the right road, the right path, and you'll be happy that you made the right choice. You be serious before the Lord. If you come to pray, pray seriously. Don't just look around. Thank you, Brother Hudson. Look up this way just for a moment. You know, he was talking there about the matter of stewardship and the fact that God owns everything. It's very, very important to get that nailed down and do it early in life. You know, a lot of people don't survive when God reaches down and takes something very precious to them. But that happened to Brother Hudson. Several years ago, when God reached down and took his wife. Why did God take Catherine? The Lord had need of her. And if you don't have it nailed down that God owns everything, we use terminology like my house, my car, my wife, my husband. Not wrong to talk like that. My life. It's really not ours. It all belongs to him. And you get that nailed down. God comes along. God takes a child. God takes a spouse. You'll hurt. You'll grieve. But you won't fall apart. You won't fall apart. Realizing that God owns everything. That's one of the greatest principles to get down in your heart life very early. Because He does. He does. And when you come to one of those crossroads, and you'll come to many, that's the first thing to remember is, I am not my own. I belong to Him. Let God use you to make the right choice on those roads. Thank you, Brother Hudson.